What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Welcome back to our show, hour number two. The phone lines are still closed. I'm probably going to open them up sometime toward the bottom of the hour. But I do want to get through all of this. So anyway, before we went to the station identification break, I was talking about how I get emails and phone calls from people saying the American public just doesn't seem to really care about the wars. That's not true. There are protests out there. The corporate media will not let you see them. That's what's going on here. And, for example, when George W. Bush got that Philadelphia Liberty Medal, there were protesters outside. There were Afghanistan veterans blocked entrances to the National Constitution Center, where Joe Biden was giving the Liberty Medal to George W. Bush. And so that was one protest. That was November 12th. This is all current stuff here. And then there was the Women's March on the Pentagon. Don't know if you saw that one. Hang on, let me back up here a little bit. And the protest against George W. Bush was organized by About Face Veterans Against the War. So there were a lot of people involved. So moving along here, I'm sorry, I was glancing at my watch, which we're getting a tsunami warning here. So there was the Women's March on the Pentagon. And this was people like from Code Pink, Cindy Sheehan, Medea Benjamin, Jill Stein. And they marched at the Pentagon. This was on October 21st. And they had sister marches in Los Angeles, Fresno, California, Madison, Wisconsin, Cleveland, Ohio, Patchogue, New York, Las Vegas, Nevada, Vancouver, Canada, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Asheville, North Carolina, Seattle, Washington, Buffalo, New York, Montclair, New Jersey, Austin, Texas, and West Hartford for Connecticut here. Okay? You understand what's going on. The corporate media is keeping you distracted. They don't want you to see that. You know, pay no attention to those protesters out at the street. They're going to give you double plus ungood thoughts. They might remind you there's a war going on. And by the way, have you noticed that we're not getting a lot of war coverage at all, which tells us things are not going good. We're not doing well in Afghanistan. We're certainly not doing very well over there in Syria. Okay, on last September 19th, there was a protest at a Hudson Institute event organized by Medea Benjamin. And this was a protest against Mike Pompeo's assistant, Brian Hook, and his neocon buddies who are out there trying to sell the idea why it's okay that the Trump administration withdrew from the Iran nuclear deal in order to slam that nation with starvation sanctions. And apparently Medea just stormed the stage and condemned the U.S. imperialism. So good for Medea. On October 16th, remember when Henry Kissinger was out there? He was invited to speak at an NYU Business School event, and protesters showed up. There were protests both inside and outside of the event, and it attracted a tremendous amount of attention and actually did get a segment of coverage on Fox News, in which huffy, sputtering pundits wagged their fingers at the young demonstrators for interrupting, you know, Kissinger. He's an icon. He's a foundation of all that this nation stands for. Yeah, like war crimes. Do you know that there are nations where Henry Kissinger cannot set foot or he will be arrested? And let's see, this one was back on September 25th of this year. Mike Pompeo was out there with John Bolton at the United Against a Nuclear Iran Summit, again, pushing the war agenda. We've got to get those people. And this was the protest was organized by Code Pink. And this one actually did get a little bit of media attention in the Washington Post. But again, you don't see these things up on ABC, CBS News, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, CNBC. You don't see that stuff. They don't want you to know that your fellow citizens are opposed to these wars. And probably the best thing that you can all be doing right now, I mean, we're encouraging everybody to talk. Go back to the good old-fashioned art of conversation and talk to people. And we're coming up here on Thanksgiving. And while the general rule of thumb is don't talk politics during Thanksgiving, it's an opportunity to get on out there and say, how do you feel about the wars? Because I think it's bad. I think we're killing a lot of people for no real reason. These countries didn't attack us. We'll probably get back to, you know, they're a threat to our interests. Okay, tell me what those interests are. I actually did that once when I was confronted by somebody who was in the military who just gone for the Kool-Aid. And, you know, why are we attacking Iraq? Well, they're a threat to our interests. Ah, and those interests would be. And I got this blank look. And finally, I said to her, okay, so you're out here saying it's justified to kill the Iraqi people, but you don't know why. We're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are just rejoining the network. And finally, this one actually took a while. This was organized by Cindy Sheehan, and I don't have the exact date, but I assume it was sometime this last year. And she went on a hunger strike for Yemen. It was a 27-day fast. In fact, yeah, it's still ongoing. That's why they don't have a date on it. No. There are protests out there. The American people do not like war, and they are trying to get their voices heard. But the TV networks are filtering it out. Corporate social media is filtering it out. That's why we have to turn away. We have to start talking to each other. We have to communicate with each other with, you know, direct face-to-face. The next thing, it'll be the email that's being filtered to remove objectionable content, like you think war is bad. You know, how could you object to war? War's great. War is fun. War is good for business. War, it's fantastic. My favorite line from Hot Shots Part 2. Alrighty. Well, to nobody's surprise, this is coming out of the Kaiser Report here, defense contractors are seeing a boom time under the Democrats. I remember when I was a kid, it was the Republicans who were the party of war and death and blood. And it was the Democrats who were the party of peace. Well, unfortunately today, it looks like both parties are in favor of war because it's making them a lot of money. Need to check out their stock portfolios here. Speaking of war, and we're getting this from Sputnik News, the United States $6 trillion war on terror is expected to grow larger. This war on terror has been going on for 17 years, and the U.S. has become involved on the ground in Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan. Sputnik News doesn't really know it's a lot worse than that. We're talking, there are 7 acknowledged official conflicts going on right now. So $6 trillion, that's enough money to end world hunger for 200 years. Using the metric of $30 billion annually, which we get from the United Nations. And there was a little detail in this article that I don't think a lot of people had realized before. When the Pentagon comes up with a program and says, this is our brand new F-35 and it's going to cost us only $1 trillion, that does not include the cost of the financing. Because the Pentagon doesn't have $1 trillion. They're going to borrow it from the Federal Reserve. And those interest payments, they're not sure what they're going to be, so they are not included on the original cost estimate. And that's another reason why these things spiral completely out of control. As you know, the major utility companies out in California are dealing with the fires, which are finally starting to wind down. The winds have let up here a little bit. But Pacific Gas and Electric is in serious trouble. They're basically imploding. And if you remember the movie Aaron Brockovich, Pacific Gas and Electric is infamous as the company that exposed the town of Hinckley, California, to hexavalent chromium, which is highly toxic and carcinogenic. So PG&E is already looking at the potential for massive lawsuits, because it's now known their equipment failure is what sparked the fires. And they just got done paying off for another fire from 2015. So their stock went into a tailspin, and it's not looking very good. And the problem is that a lot of hedge funds are invested in these giant utilities, because under normal circumstances, they're seen as rock solid, dependable investments. And so some of these hedge funds that were invested in PG&E, they're getting hammered. They're getting hammered real hard. PG&E might have to file for bankruptcy protection, or they could hire a public relations firm to get somebody in a turban to run around and say, "I'm ISIS. I started the fires. Please leave your beautiful electric companies alone. I'm ISIS. I'm evil. Blah, 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 blah." And I'm saying that only half in jest, because somebody's already put that out there, that the California wildfires were started by ISIS. All right. Anyway, investor Stanley Druckenmiller was recently interviewed by Real Vision. And basically his attitude was one of extreme pessimism, saying that this is the most troubled I've been about my future, maybe ever. And I think anybody who's objectively looking at the economy is going to say, we understand that. We understand exactly what you're doing. Now, Paul Tudor Jones says really scary moments as the Fed rate hikes trigger a credit crisis. It's not just a stock crisis. It's a credit crisis. Liquidity appears to be drying up. And just let me see what they closed at. Well, they managed to get our markets into the green at the last minute. Bitcoin, on the other hand, has crashed to its lowest level in over a year. And apparently it had a dead cat bounce today, but on Wednesday it dropped lower than 6,000, which was considered its key support level. Meanwhile, the British pound sterling has taken a nosedive, in part because of the political turmoil going on in Great Britain, because the Brexit negotiations have thrown the British government into chaos. And so there's been a huge drop in the British markets. Shares in banks, retailers, and house building are tumbling. Retailers are deep in the red. So they're getting ready to see what's going to happen over there. Now, over in Iran, Tehran's envoy to Great Britain says the U.S. has failed to rally the world community behind its new sanctions against Iran, and that Iran possesses enough leverage to keep its oil sales going despite U.S. attempts to reduce them to zero. And he went on to say, we have lots of alternatives because we have had some experience from the past. We know that, in fact, the difference this time is that countries are not ready to comply with the United States request. So, meanwhile, the plan to have an alternative payment channel for Iran is on hold while everybody agrees it's a good idea. Including Brussels itself, the United States has put intense pressure on all of the member states of the EU, and none are willing to be the headquarters for this alternative payment system. Okay. Iraq has rejected the U.S. deadline to halt Iran gas imports, and saying that they can't survive without it. Any halt to the supplies would create a power crisis. They tried to do it earlier this year, and they had several days of unrest in Basra. So Iraq has extensive trade ties with Iran and heavily depends on Iranian natural gas imports for electricity generation. So the world really is turning away from the United States, saying, we don't want to play the way you play anymore. We're tired of being part of the gang that just beats other people up and says, you will use our currency, you will use our electronic transfer system, and then we can use that in turn to control you. That really, in a nutshell, is the U.S. economic policy toward the rest of the world. You will use the dollar. You will use SWIFT. And we, in turn, will use the dollar and SWIFT to control you, to get you to do what we tell you to do. That's it. And the rest of the world is kind of tired of that. Meanwhile, over at the International Monetary Fund, little bit of a surprise and a reversal. Christine Lagarde is out there saying that central banks could issue digital money. And she made this statement at a speech in Singapore. And she said there may be a role for the state to supply money to the digital economy. And she says the advantage of central banks being able to issue digital money is it's instantaneous. The payment would be immediate, safe, cheap, and potentially semi-autonomous. And central banks would retain a sure footing in payments. So apparently, according to Christine Lagarde, the central banks in Canada, China, Sweden, and Uruguay were all seriously considering digital currency proposals, which means when you go to that central bank, it's just like your local bank. Type a keyboard, the money is there, ready to accrue interest and to spend. All right. As you know, there are many iconic retailers who are in serious trouble, and this year's holiday shopping season is expected to be a bit of a shakeout in which a lot of iconic retailers are going to go away. And we know how many we've already lost here. And we know that Sears is likely to be going away very soon. Apparently, the unsecured creditors have filed a lawsuit to force the bankruptcy court to order Sears to just liquidate completely right now and start making payouts, rather than Sears' plan, which was to close half of their stores, the low-performing ones, and then take one more try at getting back to profitability. And apparently the Sears creditors are saying they don't see it as happening. And I tend to be in agreement, based primarily on the Sears we have here locally, where the quality of the products is not very good. And of course, having already sold off their Craftsman's tool division, that was the goose that was laying the golden egg. But apparently Macy's is also in serious trouble. And unlike Sears, Macy's didn't miss the train on online sales. They've got an online presence. But that hasn't stop the decline in their brick and mortar business. So Macy's may be in trouble. So this Thanksgiving, that parade down Manhattan, maybe one kid with a balloon that says Macy's on it. Could be that. Let's get on over here to Goldman Sachs. You've probably been hearing about this before. It's called the 1MDB scandal. And Goldman Sachs is up to their neck in it. And even by Wall Street standards of gouging their customers, this was a doozy. Now, back in 2012 and 2013, the Malaysian government was raising $6.5 billion from investors, claiming it was for a sovereign wealth fund to finance various domestic infrastructure investment projects. We're going to take a break now for commercials. More about this story when we come back.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The extenovite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You got the money, honey. We got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up anyone. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did. The towers in New York.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And boy, this just gets better and better and better. Getting all the way back over to Florida again. Florida officials in Tallahassee are now saying that nearly 200,000 voters in the state may not have been U.S. citizens. And apparently, earlier in the week, they'd identified more than 2,600 people who are in Florida legally but ineligible to vote. And apparently, as they kept looking, they just kept finding more and more and more. And they've turned up a list of nearly 182,000 people who may not be U.S. citizens. And they're not supposed to vote. And because we're not allowed to have, you know, voter ID, non-citizens can vote. And the Democrats made no secret of the fact they were going to be using, or they were relying on illegals to vote. Apparently, there's been a lawsuit filed up in Pennsylvania alleging that 100,000 non-citizens are registered to vote up there. And apparently it's been a problem for decades. So again, if you get a chance, go over to my main page, go up to the upper left, look at that seriously outdated photo of me, and directly below it, you'll see an article, How to Have Honest Elections. And I think it's a workable idea. But the way our system is set up now, it is just wide open to manipulation. It is wide open to manipulation. And it really is out of control. All righty, getting on back to the news. We were talking about Goldman Sachs, and they're implicated in this one MDB Malaysian state investment fund. And Goldman Sachs' cut of raising the $6.5 billion sovereign wealth fund was 10%. That's usurious. Basically, that's $600 million for putting together this sovereign wealth fund. And the Malaysian authorities didn't kick up a fuss about it. Well, it turned out that what was going on is these Malaysian authorities were going to dip into this $6.5 billion fund themselves. That they were setting up one of the biggest frauds in history, and they were buying Goldman Sachs' blue chip reputation to pull in naive investors to the one MDB state investment fund. And Goldman Sachs had to know that's what was going on. And of course, nothing will ever happen to them. But at least their blue chip reputation is a little less blue than it was before. And let's see, I was looking for something here. I'm just following up on something. Okay, Claire said that there was an update on a story, but I can't find it. Now, over at Wells Fargo, another one of these very crooked banks that justifies Jesse James' comments, Wells Fargo is adopting an unusual defense against a shareholder lawsuit, claiming that shareholders cannot hold the bank accountable for CEO Tim Sloan's statements that it was working to restore trust and to be more transparent about its scandals, because it should have been obvious that Sloan was lying. That's their defense. Saying we'd tell the truth was so absurd, we can't be sued for lying about it. Now, what Wells Fargo is trying to claim is that what CEO Tim Sloan was engaging in was a practice called puffery, which is making a statement that you just know is really meaningless. Like, we make the world's greatest hamburgers, or the world's fastest racing bicycle. It's considered puffery, because you just know that there may be better hamburgers or better bicycles out there, but it's part of the selling. But that's Wells Fargo's idea. And puffery is not actionable in court, so they may get away with it. The CEO may have just gotten away with lying to his own shareholders. Oh. Okay. All right. Let's see. Down in Australia, there is a situation going on, and it has to do with the Reserve Bank of Australia and the fact that they, too, like so many other banks around the world, are supposed to have a certain amount of gold bullion in their reserves, but it doesn't seem to be there. And they're, well, we're going to take a break here for commercials, and we'll be right back after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero? You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Before we get back to Australia, this is just now coming on in. Florida elections officials have announced the results from the first machine recount today, and Rick Scott wins the recount. He actually increased his lead over Bill Nelson. He's calling on Bill Nelson to concede. I would be very surprised if he did. I have a feeling this is not over. It's not over at all. So we're getting on back to Australia. I'm sorry, Australia. And the Reserve Bank of Australia, like so many other reserve banks around the world, is supposed to have a certain amount of gold bullion in there. And there are these activists, if you will, who were trying to basically get some transparency from the Reserve Bank, saying how much gold is actually in there. And last week, it looked like the RBA was going to go along with that, because they set up a new official webpage showing their gold holdings. But all of a sudden, the RBA is now silent. They're refusing to answer any further questions. And apparently it comes on down to the fact there are 11 tons of gold which should be in the vaults of the Reserve Bank of Australia, but nobody can say where it is. And, of course, you have these rumors circulating in Europe that gold at the Bank of England has gone missing, as well as the fact that the Bank of England is refusing to hand the Venezuelan government their gold back. citing the possibility of money laundering as the justification for doing that. So the question is, where has all the gold gone? Because we keep hearing these stories about the New York Fed, the gold that was supposed to be there, that's not there. JP Morgan, the gold that was supposed to be there, that's not there. Bank of England, same thing. Bank of France, same thing. Countries that are trying to get their gold back from these bullion depositories like Germany, they had a really, really tough time of it. Somebody really got away with robbing Fort Knox. Shades of Thunderball. And again, for those of you who have access to reruns of History Channel, we covered this on America's Book of Secrets, the gold conspiracy. Somebody in the high reaches of those financial towers has been playing fast and loose with other people's gold. Jesse James was right. The bankers are the real outlaws. Now, as you know, we're in the middle of Trump's trade war with China. And it's causing a lot of harm to the people of China. It's starting to cause a lot of harm here. Soybean farmers, they're running out of places to store the surplus. And so it's getting a little tense out there. But there's this interesting article that came on out of WilliamEngdahl.com saying that the real agenda behind the trade war is not civilian, but military. And it sounds really good to the public that this is all about rebalancing America's huge trade deficit problem, which is a problem. There's no question about that. But apparently, this is really about the defense industrial base of the United States and the realization that when the Pentagon hands out a defense contract to an American corporation like Lockheed Martin or General Dynamics, these companies, in order to maximize their profitability, are going to other places for raw materials or subcomponents. Mostly, they're going to China. And what Trump is trying to do is basically financially incentivize these defense contractors to start dealing with American suppliers. And in order to bolster that, Trump has got to put a capital investment in to building factories in this country that can supply these components and materials. And they're not going to get them all. Those rare earths on which so many electronics are now dependent, there are not a lot of them here within the continental United States itself. But I guess it makes sense. If you're getting ready to go to war against a country, you want to make sure that your own army is not actually economically dependent on them. So, and again, this is where our abandonment of manufacturing comes back to haunt us. There's a lot of things that need to be made to fight a war. Circuit boards, helmets, vests, things like that. And a lot of electronics. And you have to have people who know how to manufacture, who know how to set up a production line and keep it running properly. And as we've allowed our manufacturing to decline, companies here who could make these components, they went out of business. Cheaper to go to Asia. Cheaper to offshore. And our domestic manufacturing talent, they went as well. They got lured away. Better money, more respect. Because our culture, following World War II, when we got into that whole scientific management and the Masters in Business Administration, we literally created a generation of, first of all, mid-level managers and then later top-level executives with no respect for manufacturing or for people who actually make things. And that's something else that drove these people to seek homes in other countries where the ability to make things is still highly respected. Okay. All right, so let's talk about the border, because there's a lot going on down there. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, Border Patrol police in the San Diego sector have managed to arrest about a dozen members of the migrant caravan. Oh, whoopee, 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 10,000 people out there. They've got 12 so far, and nobody has any idea how many got over that fence. And they were just scaling up that fence like crazy. Now, on the far side, on the U.S. side, on the top, there is razor wire. But if they're strong enough, they can literally just jump over that. Of course, they risk breaking something on the way down. But that fence is proving to be a less than wonderful barrier. Mostly, I'm wondering, we were told all these military forces are down there. Where are they? I know a lot of them are still over in Texas running out the razor wire. Now, interestingly enough, on the Mexican side of the border, there are Mexican protesters protesting against the caravan, just saying, go home. We don't want you here. Apparently, there was a fight that broke out, and the migrant caravan organizers are out there trying to make a big deal about how the customs police refused to break up the fight. Well, the fight was on the Mexican side of the border. And Customs and Border Patrol, their jurisdiction ends at that fence. So let's talk about Great Britain. Lots of intense things going on over there. As you know, Theresa May had announced they had an agreement, a Brexit agreement, and then somebody leaked it out, and it turned out to be everything that everyone was concerned about. Theresa May was just giving everything the EU wanted. Permanent entanglement of the economy, permanent entanglement of immigration, permanent entanglement of regulatory compliance. And that just infuriated a lot of people. And now there have been 7 high-profile resignations. Labour is claiming the Conservative government is at risk of completely dissolving. Now, Salish Vara, the Minister of State in the Northern Ireland office, was the first top official to resign after the Prime Minister announced that her cabinet had reached this draft EU withdrawal agreement. And an hour after his announcement, Brexit Secretary Dominic Raab, the man charged with finalizing the deal, said he was stepping down, stating that the Brexit deal in its current form, meaning Theresa May's version, suffers from deep flaws. Esther McVeigh, Secretary of State for Work and Pensions, submitted her letter of resignation shortly afterward. More resignations have followed. Now, at this point, it's very obvious Theresa May is a closet globalist. She's been working very, very hard to not let this go forward. She's been opposed to a no-deal Brexit, just, you know, put gates on the tunnel, go back to the, you know, and just go with it. Now, Jacob Rees-Mogg has actually launched a formal bid to remove Theresa May today and basically came on out reminding everybody that if 48 Tory MPs write to Sir Graham Brady, the chairman of their backbench 1922 committee, a vote of confidence, no confidence, will be held. And to judge by his enthusiasm, it seems that Mr. Rees-Mogg's, the threshold has been crossed. They've got the votes. So that will be interesting. And apparently the Tory Brexiteers are mounting an all-out bid to just get rid of her. She betrayed her country. She betrayed her own party. She betrayed the principles of Brexit. She betrayed the voters. We should not allow leaders who refuse to listen to their own people to remain in office. And I'm glad that Britain has a mechanism for removing somebody like that. Apparently, at a Greek refugee camp, a Syrian migrant, 20 years old, has been arrested for raping a 3-year-old boy. like I said, when you've got this migration thing going on, it's a filtering process. You're not getting the best of the people from the home countries. You're getting the dregs, the criminals, the contagious people fleeing prosecution, deviants. That's what's happening here. Okay, story out of fairus.org talking about the fiscal cost of resettling refugees in the United States. And here are the numbers. The cost per refugee to the American taxpayers is just under $79,600 every year for the first 5 years after a refugee is resettled in the United States. I'll let you get your calculators out and work that out for yourself. Now, in 2016, State Department spent nearly $545 million to process and resettle refugees, including $140 million on transportation costs. Remember how they were taking these refugees and they were flying them all over the country, get them spread all out, so it would be impossible to get them back. That's what that was, $140 million. Of the $1.8 billion with a B in resettlement costs, $867 billion was spent on welfare alone. In their first 5 years, approximately 54% of all refugees will hold jobs that pay less than $11 an hour. $71 million will be spent to educate refugees and asylum seekers, a majority of which will be paid by state and local governments. Over 5 years, an estimated 15.7% of all refugees will need housing assistance, which is roughly $7,600 per household in 2014 dollars. And the first thing that occurs to me is, wouldn't it be nice if that cash was being spent on our homeless veterans? Or even our homeless non-veterans? Why are the refugees and the illegal immigrants getting a better deal from the government of the United States of America than the people of the United States of America? Okay, let's talk about the California fire. The good news is the winds are dying down. But these have been horrible, and apparently in Southern California, they're now saying that the destruction from the fire is expected to be significantly higher than the already documented 435 structures, and that's because there's a lot of canyon areas where there'll be little cabins and private homes up there, and they're going to have to be searched by foot. That's going to take several days. But authorities are saying the risk from the fire has dropped significantly. People are going home to many areas where they were previously evacuated, and they get to find out if they have their homes or not. Pierce Brosnan, you remember him from the James Bond movies. Apparently, he and his wife lost their $3.5 million home. And he's basically out there lobbying for more aid for his neighbors there in Malibu. Interestingly enough, in Los Angeles, KNBC was the only Los Angeles news to report on the potential release of radiation from the Santa Susana Field Laboratory, which got burned over by the Woolsey fire. Now, remember, there was a lot of experimentation there. I mean, when the lab was first built, it was kind of out in the boonies. And Simi Valley just kind of crept up to the edge of it. They got close enough and they said, well, maybe we should go do this stuff someplace else. But the damage was already done. It's one of the most toxic places. And they did a lot of experimental nuclear reactors there. And because they were considered experimental, they did not have containment structures. One of them was an experimental sodium-cooled reactor for military application. It suffered a meltdown. And the meltdown is still going on. They can't go down and dig it out. It's working its way deeper and deeper into the earth. Now, had they bothered to ask, the U.S. probably would have learned from the Russians that sodium-cooled reactors are not worth the trouble because they tried to come up with it. The idea of using sodium instead of water in the primary cooling loop was to extract more energy from the reactor to drive your submarine. But there we are here. But a lot of people are very, very angry. They're beginning to realize this fire did not need to happen. And victims of California's Camp Fire have filed a lawsuit against Pacific Gas and Electric, PG&E, made infamous by Higley, for basically cutting corners, ignoring faults and problems to protect their bonuses. We'll be right back after these few words.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting in a red color, but thankfully, there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And in the last segment of our program, I reported the story that Florida elections officials had declared Rick Scott the winner of the recount. He'd actually increased his lead over Bill Nelson, calling on Bill Nelson to concede. And remember, I said, I don't see Bill Nelson conceding, and I don't think this is over. And this is one of those cases of, gee, I hate it when I'm always right, because apparently the Florida Secretary of State has just ordered a manual recount for the U.S. Senate race between Rick Scott and Senator Bill Nelson, along with a manual by-hand recount of the Commissioner of Agriculture races. So it just goes on and it goes on and it just goes on. All righty. So let's get on back here. We're talking about what's going on with the California fires and how a lot of the victims of the California's Camp Fire have filed a lawsuit against PG&E, which I expect is probably going to go class action with a lot of people. And the suit accuses PG&E of being responsible for the fire, claiming it failed to properly maintain its equipment and infrastructure. And this is not the first time that PG&E has been accused of this, and it's not the first time they've been sued, and it's not even the first time they've lost a lawsuit. They just got done having to pay for a fire they started back in 2015. So apparently one lawyer is claiming PG&E bypassed preventative measures just a day before the fire, claiming it wanted to protect company bonuses instead. Now, PG&E did inform the California Public Utilities Commission that a high voltage power line experienced a problem near the origin of the campfire just minutes before the blaze broke out. So I can understand why PG&E stockholders are dumping their stocks and while the hedge funds may be in trouble. Now, there have been some positive stories of people who were being very heroic. And we talked yesterday about this billionaire who lost his home and his winery in the fire, but still decided to take his $25 million yacht, 140 feet long, and use it to ferry emergency supplies to the people of Malibu who were cut off on both sides by PCH. And the paddle boaters and surfers, kayakers, ferried it all in there. So that kind of thing sort of remind you there are still good people in this world. So this is another good story. This came out from the Daily Mail, and it's basically that veterinarian workers, in fact, there's this organized group, the North Valley Animal Disaster Group. They set up shop inside a hospital that had already been abandoned, and they set up this makeshift clinic to take care of wild animals and pets left for dead in the California wildfires. And that included 258 cats, 188 dogs, 76 chickens, 41 birds, including a handful of brightly colored parrots and five rabbits. Now, larger animals were transported to the Butte County Showgrounds in Gridley, California. And again, little heroics there. We'll be back with more after station identification.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.